is the favorite tune of Srimati Radharani. So just sing along loud. You might not be able to hit immediately the right tonalities and everything, but it will come. Do we have a mridanga player with us? Yes. Not too loud, because we have a lot of echo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Thank you. We have a lot of space still. You can put it here. We will. Isn't it better if we ask everyone to come in because of the mosquitoes and because of the sound also? Please do come in. It will become cold and all the mosquitoes will come in here. Hare Krishna. Vrindavan Prabhu, look at the deities. They are from you. What is this?
It looks like Mahaprasad.
Oh yeah, Hare Krishna.
It's warm.
Yes. So please, we will now close the doors. So you are either in or out.
15 minutes.
What?
15 minutes. We have to go to airport. So we go wait here.
No, then you come in and then leave after 15 minutes. No, because we have to close the. You will see all the mosquitoes will come in and all the sound will come in. Please do also close this. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Jaya Radhe,
Jaya Radhe,
Jaya Krishna,
Jaya Krishna,
Jaya Vrindavan,
Jaya Vrindavan,
Sri Govinda,
Sri Govinda,
Gopinatha,
Gopinatha,
Sri Madan Moha. Krishna. Thank you very, very, very much. I feel very unqualified to receive your flower garland because of a special experience which I wish to share with all of you. I would like to share an experience which Krishna gives to his devotees who come to Vrindavan. But I would like to give you this from a personal perspective. I have always seen that if we wish to be in Vrindavan and have the experience of Krishna's sweetness, something has to go, something which blocks us, something which covers our heart so that the heart can no longer be a recipient of divine grace. It's of course the pride, the false ego, which makes an iron armor around the heart and locks the heart so that it cannot perceive the sweetness of Lord Krishna. But when you are in Vrindavan, there are some divine agents who will work in order to free you from this iron covering of the heart, this closure of the heart, this prison of the heart. These divine agents are empowered by Krishna with a certain potency, the potency to touch the heart of even a conditioned soul. There is, of course, Yamuna Mai, the sacred river, will work for the Vaishnava, for the devotees' benefit. There's Giriraj Govardhan, or the best of Krishna's servants, who works on the heart of the devotees. And there is the Brajaraj, the dust of Vrindavan, which is for sure touched by the imprints of Krishna's lotus feet. All these three, and some more, are divine agents which work on the heart of the conditioned soul in a very, very active way. And they work, in the words of Rupa Goswami, with the Taraka Shakti, that is the Shakti which liberates a conditioned soul from coverings and misgivings. And they work also with the Paraka Shakti. Paraka Shakti is that which pulls a person closer to Krishna, which pulls him into the divine embrace. So, in Vrindavan Dham, we find, by Krishna's arrangement, powerful agents which have these two powerful energies, Taraka Shakti, a liberating Shakti, and Paraka Shakti, or a pulling Shakti. Now, it's not always easy for a conditioned soul to contact these two, especially the first type of Shakti, the liberating, the freeing Shakti. And you might ask why. This is so because we are unfortunately attached to the things which kill us, the things which bring us down, the things which make us heavy. And when Krishna's liberating or Taraka Shakti comes to take away our burdens, sometimes we struggle and we pant and we groan. That's the experience, the groaning experience in Vrindavan. Maybe some of you have made this experience in their own times. That when something happens to them which is less than pleasing, like a disease, a misunderstanding, an unsuccessful dealing with a rickshaw driver who cheated you, and you are brought all of a sudden away from something. You brought something is taken away from you, and you cannot find the place where you are secure, that is the place of humility. I remember my day today started like this. It started all right in the beginning, and I did my yoga, and I was just so absolutely blissful to be in Vrindavan. But then the noise terror started. Loud, loud, louder, loudest. And I began to feel my European sense of culture was severely attacked. Why are these Indians so loud? How impolite it is to invite people in a place like Radha Dham and then terrorize them with kirtans which start early in the night and find their climax when you want to sleep and so on and so forth. And I lodged a complaint to the manager. No loud kirtans in Radha Priya Dham, or Sachinandan Swami goes out and complains severely. So I came in the protesting mood, in the mood of someone whose comfort was disturbed. And from then on, the whole morning, so many phone calls, so many everything, and I became really, I thought, oh no, I will run away to some tree and brush, I will forget all about this sophisticated village which wants to become a pilgrim site for all of India. Then at around 12:30 I was totally in material consciousness. But at the same time I felt very miserable. I felt there's something basically wrong with my stay in Vrindavan. I'm trying to be the controller of my environment, to make it suitable to my enjoyment, to my sense of how things should be. And this is not the way to go. In Vrindavan, one can stay when one comes as a soul, as a surrendered soul. So if Krishna wants it to be loud in his village, let it be loud. And let me glorify Krishna and come to that place of surrender where I'm anyways fully protected. The moment someone is attached to Krishna in surrender, Krishna protects him. So I decided this is enough. I ran out of this apartment to find some shelter, and I went to a place which I like very much. It's just very near, maybe 7 minutes walk from here. It's where the god of lust was defeated by Krishna. And I went inside. I had my assistant with me, and there it was, a peaceful garden with high trees, my personal dreams. So I went in, and the moment we went in, a small Brijbasi came, totally determined to destroy every little nerve which was still left in us. By this time, I noticed, this is Krishna testing me, first with the sound, and then with this little Brijbasi. If I now do the same mistake which I have done in Radha Priya Dham, I might be kicked out of Vrindavan. I better surrender now to Krishna. I told to my assistant, who was just becoming angry with the Brijbasi, don't become angry, it's only a test of our smiling Lord, whose smile is hidden behind the external events of things. Don't become angry. Just lovingly embrace the Brijbasi and pay your obeisances or do something except becoming angry. We have to get out of our material consciousness. And as we made the decision, both of us, to surrender to Krishna and to see his smiling face behind the tests, something wonderful happened for us. It was almost as if a door opened and pulled us in, and there we were, sitting and having our best experience so far in Vrindavan. At least I can speak for myself. During that time of Nam Seva, the Nam was so merciful to me, like I have never seen before. I believe very, very strongly the Vrindavan experience is always like this. Krishna is prepared to work through his divine agents to give excellent rati or attachment in the heart. But before he does so, he will pose a test on your path, a test in which you can prove your surrender to his plan and to his will. See, love of Krishna is always connected to what is called in Sanskrit dhanyam, a sense of humility. And this humility, or sense of humility, is something which is so absolutely important if you ever want to experience rati or attachment and love for Krishna. The sense of humility is coming about by Krishna's help. When he sends you the tests and you recognize the tests and you choose to not respond angrily or materially, but you choose to respond with sharanagati, with surrender. This is what you can learn in Vrindavan. It's a heavy lesson, but once you do make this lesson, it always works. It always grants you the next level of your Krishna consciousness. Today I want to read to you or narrate to you a pastime of Lord Krishna, where he himself, for the eternal benefit of his devotees, destroys the false pride. Hare Krishna Viprakit Nikunya Rasa. You will go to Moscow. See you in the ice and snow, isn't it? See you in Moscow, no? I'm in the same airport. We won't get out. Okay, then I see you in my heart. Hare Krishna. So there are these pastimes of Lord Krishna, which you can meditate about, and while meditating about them, you can pray to Krishna to take away certain conditionings. And the pastime which I would like to narrate to you is a pastime which took place on the bank of the Jamuna. Very important. It's a pastime where Krishna removes the pride of achievement, even in an advanced devotee who has achieved some high level of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. But first of all, let's visit the Yamuna. Yamuna Mai flows very nicely through the land of Braj as one of the agents to give Rati or transcendental attachment to the hearts of the devotees. Yamuna Mai waits for all of the devotees to come and sit at her banks and do their bhajans there. Yamuna Mai, as you know, is one of the three most purifying agents in this world. Often it is said that Ganga Mai is the purest river, but it is said in Shastra that Yamuna Mai is 100 times more purifying than Ganga, because Krishna himself would bathe regularly in her waters. And therefore, the water of the Yamuna is so purifying. Some say the reason Yamuna Mai is black is not due to the touch of Krishna's body, but due to the touch of Radharani's mascara, the black eye enhancer, which Srimati Radharani uses. But these are the Radha Bhaktas. They have to see Radharani in everything, and most probably they are right. This Yamuna Mai has always been the place where the advanced devotees gather in Vrindavan and do their bhajan. Here in Vrindavan, you must know, there is a secret brotherhood of the Yamuna lovers. These are all very good sadhus whom you can see visiting Yamuna and chanting and meditating on her banks. And if you can somehow get the chance to visit Yamuna Mai, please do this. I will do it tomorrow. It's incredible what you can get from Yamuna Mai. So Lord Krishna, there at this most purifying site, performed a certain pastime. As you know, Kamsa had often attempted to kill Lord Krishna, and by sending his different ministers and demon friends, and one of his demon friend was Keshi, who took on the form of a huge horse. I mean, I sometimes thought in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, Keshi was as big as the horse of Troya. But that is not right. Keshi was much, much bigger. And when he galloped into Braj with the speed of the mind, he whinnied and he neighed, the English words, it means and so on. And he was so big that his tail squashed the clouds. He was so wild that when he shook his mane, he disturbed the traffic of the vimanas of the devatas. There was so much commotion in the air that the devata vimanas or airships went off course and some crashed. When Keshi came, he galloped into Vrindavan, and with his hooves he just raised the earth, which came in clumps sailing through the air. And he looked all over for Krishna. When he finally found Krishna, Krishna was just very, very playful and joyful, and like all this. And you will see what he did. First, I have to see, it's a rather involved story. He first grabbed Keshi's hind legs and whirled him around and then threw him for the distance of 100 bow lengths. On the bank of the Yamuna. When Keshi was thrown like this, a little bit like Garuda who takes a snake and then begins to hurl the snake and just throws it, he was so bewildered he couldn't believe it, and he fell unconscious. Krishna waited for Keshi to make his second attempt. After awakening, Keshi came back to Krishna with a wide open mouth, which was gaping like a big hole. And Krishna saw him and gave him a very interesting challenge. He just raised his thumb a little bit like this, like this gesture, which usually means good in our culture, isn't it? The Western culture. He took his left hand, not the right hand, because he had something in mind. And then when Keshi was close enough, Krishna thrust his arm into the mouth of Keshi, and his arm entered the mouth of Keshi like a snake, which enters into a mouse hole. When Parikshit Maharaj heard this, that Krishna's soft arm had entered into the mouth of the demon, he almost developed a traumata. He was so worried. My dear Krishna's body is so soft that even when he passes through the forest of Vrindavan and a leaf touches his body, the skin begins to color itself in a different way. And now it's in the mouth of this terrible demon. He developed a very traumatous feeling. But Shukadev Goswami told him, don't worry. And he explained that all the devotees want to be touched by Krishna's arm. They want to be touched by Krishna's hand. They want to be revived by Krishna's softness. But the terrible demon, who was not a devotee, felt Krishna's hand and arm, which was soft, as hard as steel. This is the problem with the demons. This is the problem of someone who is proud. Even the sweetness of Krishna will not be relished by him. Rupa Goswami describes this phenomena that a person who is covered by ignorance and pride, by avidya and asmita, he is not able to relish Krishna, just like a jaundiced patient is not able to relish the sweetness of sugar. So we will, this will soon go, this false ego, don't worry. The arm blocked Keshi's breathing, then he kicked with his legs. Now I try a new English word for me, convulsively. His whole body developed sweat drops. His eyes rolled around. Then he passed stool, fell to the ground. And finally, by the power of Krishna's arm, the belly of the demon burst open like an overripe melon. Hare Krishna. And this is the end of Keshi. I'm telling this so graphically. I hope our children don't get nightmares. Because Keshi represents this pride of our achievement, this pride that I should be honored, this pride which is even there in Vrindavan, galloping at the shore of the Yamuna, this pride which connects us with the body, this pride which makes us feel I should correct others, I should tell them the way things are supposed to move. And it is this Keshi which has to go, this Keshi which gets attacked by Lord Krishna in modern times, or in our times, by his Taraka Shakti, the Shakti which resides here in Vrindavan and which looks for devotees who need help to become liberated from the material energy, the material covering. When you are in Vrindavan, you should move very, very carefully. You should know, if you give food to your pride and food to your material consciousness, there will be a very tough time for you in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, you should learn to bend low. In Vrindavan, you should learn to have your head down on the floor and your heart up in the sky, the heart which searches for the love of Krishna. It's good to think in Vrindavan always about the Trinadapi Shunichina Shloka, which is so dear to us. And then we will very quickly open our heart for a divine experience. I would like to say a prayer to Krishna with all of you, which is very nice. It appears at the end of the Keshi Damana Leela. It was said by Narada. It says, O Krishna, Krishna, O my unlimited Lord, you are the source of all mystic power. O Lord of the universe, O Vasudev, O shelter of all beings, O Master, you are the supreme witness. You are the soul of all created beings. You are sitting unseen within the cave of the heart, like fire which is dormant within kindling wood. You are the supreme personality and the ultimate controller, especially in Vrindavan. Krishna!
Krishna,
Krishna, Prameyatman,
Yogesha Jagadishvara,
Vasudeva,
Kilatvasa,
Sadvatam,
Bravara
Prabhu,
Tvam
Atma Sarva
Bhutanam,
Eko Jyoti
Vaidasam,
Gudu Guha,
Chaya
Shakshi,
Mahapurusha
Ishvara. Yes. So this is Krishna, who by his powerful Shaktis, which wander about in Vrindavan looking for his devotees, works on us. That the Lord, who does tolerate many things, but doesn't tolerate one thing. The Lord tolerates many things, but we hear from the Bhagavatam, he does not tolerate pride in the heart of his devotees. He just doesn't tolerate that. And because he wants to increase the love in the hearts of his devotees. And if there is a heart which is proud, Krishna cannot give his divine love or the bhakti shakti into the heart. And that's all what he wants. Krishna is the Lord of love and the kingdom of love, and he wishes to increase the love in the hearts of his devotees. He wishes to give them this one thing. He's eager for the love of the devotees. You might say, Krishna is already being loved by so many devotees. He doesn't need my love. Well, Krishna doesn't feel like that. Krishna is unlimitedly able to enter loving relationships, and that's all what he wishes and cares about. He's the Lord of love, and pride is totally opposed to this love. And therefore, the Lord makes all kinds of circumstances happening that he can move his devotee. I have seen this so often. Today I experienced it in my own bones, in my own life. But I have seen it very often. The last time I was, 1 year ago, I was going in Vrindavan with a devotee. And this devotee was not really wanting to go on pilgrimage. He was just a little dull, like we Westerners are often. And I do remember, I was thinking, oh Krishna, you really have to do something to this person who is at the moment a burden in my in this Vrindavan parikrama. At that moment, a monkey came and stole the glasses from the devotees. And the devotee needed his glasses, like normal people need their zaris and dhotis to function. Krishna just sent a monkey and took the glasses away to show the devotee, this is not the type of vision which you have at the moment, which is useful for Vrindavan. So Krishna is always increasing this. I wanted to now, after having made this point, I hope it's all right for you to hear this, but today I must say with great shame I totally failed, and but Krishna saved us. When Krishna comes into the life of a devotee, he usually sends some subtle hints to the devotee which he has to learn to read. Then when the devotee doesn't read these subtle hints, Krishna might, if he is very merciful, give the hints in a more stronger way, and yet stronger way. But usually Krishna is a personality who is working quite indirect, quite in the Bhagavatam it said that Krishna likes the indirect hints very much. So I picked out a verse for all of you today from the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, where it is said how those who wait for Krishna in great anticipation see first some signs that Krishna is coming before they can see Krishna themselves. This is from the Uttara Goshta. The Uttara Goshta is I hope I say it correctly. Is that correct? It's a time when the sun begins to set in the horizon. It starts at 6:48. We are a little bit, we are in that time now. And then Krishna comes to those devotees who wait for him. that I mean that's usually seen as the British Parsis who wait in the village of Vrindavan for Krishna. But I think it's good to see some similarities maybe also in our life. Krishna comes back from herding the cows and he stops in Teerkadamba, and now Teerkadamba is just outside of Nandagram where the big Goshala is. Now he wants to make sure all the cows are there. So he has some jeweled beads. He begins to count the cows by counting the groups of cows. But then Krishna sees that some cows are not there. And he calls the cows by names. Shavali, Dhavali, Hansi, and so on. He notices every cow and is very, very, very personal with each of his cows by calling their individual names. And the cows, I think we can imagine, are thinking of, will he call me, I have, some cows might have hit him purposefully because they want to hear the name, their name from the mouth of Lord Krishna. So the cows come when Krishna calls them and they are complete. And then Krishna comes with all the cows and goes to Nandagram. Now, at this moment, the mother cows begin to feel the closeness of their children, the calves. And they begin to run very fast to reach the village of Nandagaon. However, they turn around all of a sudden to see if Gopal follows them. Hare Krishna! Thank you for giving pleasure to our hearts by coming. So the cows, although they want to see their calves, turn back and see, is Krishna coming? Is he following us? Hare Krishna. Is he following us? And as they see that Krishna is delaying, they are... also don't want to run further. They stop and they wait for Krishna to come. Krishna has something in mind. He says, now we are soon coming to Nandagram, so the cows should drink some water before they enter the village. And therefore, he wants that they drink in the lakes before Nandagram. And then Krishna proceeds when they have drunken. So the people in Nandagram now, who wait for Krishna, I want to describe to you what they see. The Brajavasis waited in great anticipation for Krishna's return with the cows. First they saw the dust clouds in the distance created by the hoofs of the cows striking the earth. First, a big dust cloud announces the arrival of Krishna. Then they heard the bellowing of the cows. And then they saw the cowherd boys coming behind the cows. Finally, Nanda and Yashoda heard the flute song. And then they beheld the bright blue effulgence surrounding the jewel-like prince of Vrindavan. My dear devotees, let us think a little bit about them. This first, the dust clouds created by the hoofs of the cows which strike the surface of the earth. Then they hear the bellowing of the cows. Moo! And then they see the cowherd boys. And then, let me make it then they hear the flute song of Krishna, that singular, unmistakable song of Krishna's flute, and then finally a bright blue effulgence pours into the pathway of their eyes, and they see the jewel-like prince of Vrindavan finally arriving there. At that time, all the gopis come out from Yavat. They usually in Yavat, and they say, "O Bhadra, do not delay. O Chandravali, give up your depression and come see Krishna. O Danya, forget about your complacency. O Kamala, hurry from your home. O Pali, why are you lamenting? Quickly come and be received by the nectar of Hari's beautiful limbs." Some gopis are so overwhelmed as Krishna returns into their vision that they faint and they have to be carried by their friends outside of the house to finally see Krishna. My dear devotees, I personally always like to meditate about this pastime of Krishna. Krishna coming, Krishna's arrival, Krishna's rising in our consciousness. And I want to share with you this my fascination for this meditation that Krishna is coming. I feel that is the message which we should take from our stay in Vrindavan. It's possible that Krishna comes to us. Krishna can come to us. Prabhupada once said that the most important item in Krishna consciousness is this expectant mentality that Krishna can come, Radha can come. If we do never expect them to come, then how will they come into our lives? But if we expect them to arise on the horizon of our heart, they can come. And this is especially possible as we stay in Vrindavan and have a good contact with the Yamuna, with Giriraj Govardhan, and with the wonderful dust of Vrindavan, which should decorate each one of our limbs and make it shiny. Krishna is especially, I feel, this dust which we can contact through our obeisances, our humble obeisances. This dust will give us a lot of mercy. See, dust and humility have a lot to do with each other. There was once a Rani, a queen. You might have seen in Vrindavan there are many palaces which the kings of old times built. So this queen Hare Krishna, thank you so much for coming. So this queen was coming to Vrindavan. She was carried on the shoulders of some palanquin carriers. And she started the last leg of her journey in the morning, and she arrived early in the morning in Vrindavan when everyone was out doing Jaru Seva, you know, sweeping the roads. And at that time, this the pelican carriers, they begin to shout at the people who were wiping the street or brushing the street. They said, "Oh, street sweepers, stop sweeping the street. Our queen is coming. The Rani is coming. And the dust will come and blow into the palanquin. So this was going on for some time. Then all of a sudden, something happened. One of the street sweepers turned all of a sudden into a Krishna dancing on the street, and another street sweeper turned into Balaram dancing on the street and showing that this dust which they were rising with their feet is the same dust which was swept by the street sweeper. And so when the Rani saw this, she jumped down the palanquin and paid her obeisances to this divine vision which she had of Krishna and Balaram, who were dancing in the dust of Vrindavan. That's an ancient story which I've heard many times being told to me by the sadhus which I asked about the power of the dust of Vrindavan. This dust of Vrindavan is very, very powerful. Whenever you pass and some dust comes your way, don't show any signs of displeasure. Just go through the dust. Whenever you see dust and it's on your forehead when you pay your obeisances, know this is most probably the best decoration which you can have to finish the cycle of birth and death. Whenever you have contact with the dust of Vrindavan, be very respectful, be very humble. This humble greeting of the dust of Vrindavan will most properly make you eligible to taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness very quick. Vrindavan Dham is a very, very mystical place. It is a very active place. It's a place which works on our consciousness when we are here. And the best way to remain happy in Vrindavan is to be in a humble state of mind, sending Keshi far away out of our consciousness and allowing Krishna to work his miracles. Hare Krishna. This is what I wanted to say and share with you today. It was not so easy for me to speak today because I have just gone through a Vrindavan experience. And I must say, I was totally unprepared. But then when one is less prepared, the tests come. And I was so absolutely dead and exhausted, so that my consciousness was weak, and I was just struggling to exist. And then Krishna sent me his tests. But the moment you understand, I'm tested here, I'm not feeling happy, there must be some test of Lord Krishna. And then the moment where you correct your ways and come to that place in the heart where you can surrender, that place where you are humble, then all of a sudden the whole picture changes and you find yourself at a holy place which is extremely merciful to you, and you can make your good and deep realizations in Krishna consciousness. I feel Vrindavan is the place where the choice of the living entity is most, where it's, let me say, where you can really see what happens when you, where you can see very easily, that is what I wanted to say, when you are in material consciousness and you can see the results of material consciousness, but when you make the choice to be in Krishna consciousness, you are so quickly rewarded, so absolutely quickly rewarded. Here is really where you can practice Krishna consciousness in the most easiest way, because it's so fast you see the results, and so fast you see the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness. It happens, it's almost next to each other. So by narrating to you today what a humbled Satchinandan Swami experienced today, it's also mystical. Then you feel, when you have blown it, you feel so hopeless, and you feel so ashamed, and you feel so humbled. And strangely enough, when you can feel ashamed and humble and separated from Krishna, when you can just come to this place, then in Vrindavan, especially in Vrindavan, you are all of a sudden so connected with Krishna. This feeling of separation we have learned on the Govardhan retreat brings Krishna very quickly into our heart. The mood of separation is called Vipralamba, and Vipra is translated as that which lies in the distance, and Alambana means to achieve, to grasp, to get. So if you can feel this mood of separation from Krishna, then you have attained him very quickly in your heart. It's so spiritual. And by destroying our pride, Krishna makes us feel a little hopeless. Oh, what did I do? Oh, how did I behave? And then we can come into this feeling of separation. You are so far away, you are so far away, and I'm so useless, worthless. Another thing which I have noticed in Vrindavan is something which I would like to really read to you. Maybe Gaurahari, you can bring unveiling his lotus feet to us. See, a lot of the practical philosophy of Krishna consciousness deals with the term adhika, a qualification. What is your qualification? Or your certain qualification is necessary to attain something. So when a sincere devotee thinks deeply in his heart about his qualifications, he will most properly realize there is not much of a qualification. And at that time, the sincere devotee will, thank you very much, will think, how will I ever become qualified? There is a very nice mantra, a new mantra which we should all learn. You should submit, says Prabhupada, and you should actually feel that I am worthless. My Guru Maharaj has given this chance to serve Krishna, to offer something to Krishna. My Lord, I am so worthless. I have no capacity to serve you. But on the order of my Guru Maharaj, I'm trying to serve you. Please do not take any offense. Accept whatever I can do. That's all. That is my request. This is a very good feeling. Although we may be not qualified, let us stand next to the one who is qualified, our spiritual master. Let us be in his shadow, and let us approach the Lord by saying, on my own I have no right, but I am here because the Lord has sent me. Your devotee has sent me. He has given me this. Hare Krishna. The real thing, says Prabhupada, is bhakti, feeling. How can I serve Krishna? How can I please Him? That is wanted. Always feel that I am worthless, but I have been given a chance to serve by the grace of my Guru Maharaj. So kindly, Krishna, accept whatever little service I can give. I am offensive, so kindly excuse me. In this way, be humble, be meek, and offer your feeling, and Krishna will be satisfied. Sometimes painters tell us, and I have heard it from our dear Vrindavan Prabhu, who is with us today. Now we cannot see him. He is in one room, just next. But I have always taken great pleasure in the art of Vrindavan Prabhu, because I feel the sweetness of Radha and Krishna, and the purity comes so nicely out of these paintings. And I have asked Vrindavan Prabhu at times, how do you paint such nice paintings? And he told me that he feels very unqualified to paint. He feels like a brush, and he always says, sometimes nothing comes for quite some time, and then all of a sudden I'm picked up, and something little comes. So painters and artists in general can feel very often that they themselves are not qualified to perform a piece of art, a nice song, for instance, or a nice literary contribution, or a nice painting, and so on. But they know when the inspiration of the Lord comes, then they can do something. And usually it comes when they feel worthless and disqualified. Then the Lord picks them up and manifests something which is inspiring through them. So I like to point out to you to think maybe of your life like a piece of art, a painting. You sit before the canvas, the empty canvas of the future of your life, and now you are actually able to paint. You are given the possibility to paint something in your life. Feel worthless, feel humble, feel free from the galloping keshi, and pray to Lord Krishna to help you maybe, and then Krishna will send his Taraka Shakti, and he will take away your attachments. At that time, don't protest. When the Taraka Shakti comes and divests you of things here in Vrindavan Dham, or when in outside of Vrindavan, yasyaham anugrihnami, Krishna takes things away from you. Don't protest. Allow this to happen. Be happy that Krishna takes some stones away from you, which will be a burden when you want to cross the ocean of samsara. And just be very grateful. Try to at least accept, and then something wonderful can happen. Hare Krishna. This is all what I wanted to say. I thought we would just chant a little bit more together, and then we can just break up, eat prasadam, hang around with devotees. Here you're most welcome, and then some of you will go to the West, I heard. Then you may leave us, and we will cry that you are no longer with us. Hare Krishna. I thought, first Madhava melody. First Madhava melody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Hare Krishna. No.
The real Vrindavan.
We only sing for 5 minutes or so. I know that for some it's getting late, but 5 minutes is all right. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare
Maharaj, please tell us what is your experience in residing, while residing in Vrindavan. What can you share with us and tell us as a good advice?
I can only say what you told me. And maybe it was the time that you came from Mount Kailash. But you told me very that how important it is to pray to the Dham, the Digpals, the Dhameshwaras, who represent Lord Shiva to enter into the Dham. And it was the same theme that you were, you know, explaining today, that Lord Shiva, you told me, is the presiding deity of the false ego. And that if you come to Vrindavan with that conception that you're the controller, then you won't actually be able to see Vrindavan or appreciate Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is exclusively moving for the pleasure of Krishna. I know in the story of Dainakasura, it describes how even Vayuna Jistam, that even the wind is serving Krishna here. That the wind is taking the droplets of water from the lakes and the fragrance of the flower and offering it to Krishna. So everything here is so forcibly and exclusively moving towards Krishna. And Borijan was also saying that, why he was so heavy about, you know, surrendering it, and because that's what Vrindavan is. It's 100% for Krishna. And my experience here is that one time Prabhupada was in his room here, and he said at the end of his life, even a dog goes back to Godhead, dies in Vrindavan. Then Prabhupada said, that is the glory of Vrindavan Dham. So I was thinking, there's a force that's moving towards Krishna very, very powerfully. So false ego means that you're moving the opposite way. Mm-hmm. So you feel such tension here. But like you said, if you move towards Krishna, then it becomes, you know, it's the place that's serving your objective. Mm-hmm. And it becomes very, very, very favorable. It's like a wind in the ocean. If you're going in the direction that the wind is going, the wind is great, the wind is so pleasing, you're happy for the wind. But if you're going against the wind, then it's so difficult. So I think the idea is that if you're moving towards Krishna here, it's such a pleasing place and so wonderful. And I think that's also, I think, why Prabhupada said, you know, and I don't think he meant it literally, stay 3 days or 3 years. Because I think he meant 3 days means, you know, for a short period of time, you can maintain that consciousness of only for Krishna. You know, with the inspiration of Govardhan and Borijan Prabhu and yourself and Mother Jagatarini, Madhavananda Prabhu, for 2 weeks, they're just, oh my God, you know, I'm just flying towards Krishna, the wind's at my back. It's so, but when you stay longer, you know, it just can't be that fire, you know, you have to, I think Prabhupada meant 3 years, okay, now make a commitment for service. So, yeah. So my experience here in Vrindavan is that it's very, very difficult unless you're moving towards Krishna. And I also thought that's why Prabhupada said here the management is cursed. Because I think when you manage, you know, there's so much passion and false ego. So I think Prabhupada said the management is cursed here. I think he once said that. Because just management is cursed in Vrindavan. You know, because you have to go against the grain. You, like you say, you have to control. You have to. And when you do that, it's just the most difficult place. But I think if you move in that direction. So my experience is that it's not easy to live here. Because you got to just flow towards Krishna. And you also told me one thing that I also very much appreciate. Two things I remember. One is Satsarup Maharaj was here. And he came, and then, you know, he made it like, you know, so many disciples here. And he was, oh, you know, and he came to you. And then you gave him some advice that was so sweet. Yeah, you said to him that, you know, when you come to Vrindavan, you know, you really have to endeavor to keep it sacred. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, you give, you know, 2 weeks for all the devotees, and, you know, you give of yourself, but you also stay 1 month here where more or less you can focus in that way to keep it sacred. And Satsarup Maharaj, remember that, keep it sacred. Mm-hmm. And then another thing that you told me that I really appreciated too I treasure it. And you said it's not the amount of time that you're here. It's the quality of your consciousness. And you gave me the example of a piece of cotton and a glass of water. You said a stone can stay in water forever, and how much will it absorb? But a piece of cotton can absorb something so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I also got from that the necessity of serving the mission, to keep yourself qualified,
mm-hmm.
and that those people that do, you know, they'll absorb so much in a short time, so they shouldn't feel like, you know, I have to stay here so long, so long, so long. You know, of course we want to, but as important is, you know, becoming qualified. Mm-hmm. So that when you come, that, you know, it all can absorb.
Thank you. Wonderful. Don't. Krishna, yeah. We are walking in a land of mirrors with blind eyes. But by the help of devotees, we can see something. That is very true what you said, but I think it all came from you. I can't remember that I say.
I remember
Hare Krishna, thank you. Yeah.
You're the piece of cotton. I've been here so long, nothing is absorbed. You come occasionally and you become full.